The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton.
There was nothing about the physical appearance of the tabernacle that indicated God was dwelling in that tent. You know, it's not like a temple that you might see to a pagan god made out of marble or stone and overlaid with gold and fine artistry and craftsmanship. It's just a tent, and there's nothing about the tent that would cause you to think the true and living God dwells in that tent. The tabernacle points to who? Jesus Christ.
God had very detailed requirements for the building of the tabernacle. He chose materials and designs that were meaningful to himself and his people. Yet, as Pastor Dan will point out in today's message, despite the ornate, valuable items found inside, the exterior was kept much more simple. Apart from its size, it would have looked like a tent, yet God dwelt in it. It offers us a symbol not only of Jesus, who came in the humble form of a man, but of the way that the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts now. Now here's Pastor Dan in the book of Exodus, chapter 25, for today's edition of Ring of Truth.
The word tabernacle literally means tent or dwelling place. The tabernacle was to be the dwelling place of God in the midst of his redeemed people. It was, in fact, a portable tent that the Israelites could take with them everywhere they went in the wilderness as they were wandering. And the tabernacle became the center of life for the Israelites. It literally was in the center of their camp when they were in the wilderness, and all of their life revolved around the tabernacle and the dwelling place of God in their midst. Just as God wants to be the center of our lives, and God wants our life to be centered on Him and everything that we do, to be centered in Him, and that He would be at the heart of all that we do. Look down at verse 8, in chapter 25, verse 8. Here, the Lord says, "And let them make me a sanctuary," literally a sacred space, "that I may dwell among them." God desires to dwell among his people. That's why he instructs them to build a tabernacle, a sanctuary, a sacred space, so that he could dwell with them. It's interesting to note that God describes his creation of the heavens and the earth in just two chapters, Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Just two chapters to describe creation, the creation of the heavens and the earth. But God will spend, listen, 43 consecutive chapters describing the tabernacle to us. The rest of the book of Exodus and all of the book of Leviticus is about the tabernacle. God gives a detailed description of the tabernacle. Again, two chapters to describe the creation of the heavens and the earth, 43 chapters describing the construction and use of the tabernacle. And that shows how significant the tabernacle is in God's opinion. And because the tabernacle is important to God, it should be important to us. And that's why we should study the tabernacle carefully, because obviously it's important to God because he talks about it so much. He spends so much ink on the tabernacle. So we want to study it. We also want to study the tabernacle because the tabernacle points to Jesus Christ. It points to Jesus Christ. The tabernacle is a picture of Jesus Christ. Every single detail that is included in the description of the tabernacle, you know those verses that you just skim over or skip over because you don't understand what they're saying? Every single detail in the description of the tabernacle is pointing to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the true tabernacle. Jesus is the ultimate tabernacle of God. In the New Testament, in John chapter 1, Jesus is described as the Word. John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Earlier in John chapter 1, it says that the Word was with God and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the word dwelt there, it's literally the word tabernacled. God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, and God tabernacled among us. He pitched his tent in the midst of mankind, so to speak, in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is described as Emmanuel, which means what? God with us, right? God with us. In Colossians chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it to you, but Colossians chapter 2, listen to what it says. In Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of God is in Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God was in Christ. Jesus was God in incarnate, God in the flesh, dwelling among mankind. And the tabernacle points to his incarnation among mankind. You know, it's interesting, some scholars believe that it took the children of Israel approximately 9 months to complete the construction of the tabernacle. I find that fascinating. 9 months to complete the construction of the tabernacle. Just as the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, after 9 months in the womb of Mary, the Word was born. And so as we study the tabernacle, we're gonna take our time going through the tabernacle and go deeply into a study of the tabernacle. We want to always look for Jesus Christ in the tabernacle. Remember, Jesus said, all scripture testifies of me. And so we want to look for Jesus Christ. Now, before we dig into chapter 25, just look back at the end of chapter 24, the last paragraph there. We see that Moses went up on Mount Sinai alone to meet with God. He's on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. God miraculously sustained his life for 40 days. And it's during that time up on Mount Sinai when Moses is with God that God gives Moses the blueprints for the tabernacle. God explains to him how to build the tabernacle and what it should look like and what the dimensions should be and what the building materials should be for the tabernacle. So look at verse 1 of chapter 25. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. So the tabernacle will be constructed with building materials supplied by the people. The people will make an offering for the tabernacle, and they're going to make this offering with a willing heart, it says. No one was required to give. It was not obligatory or mandatory to give anything. The people were not guilted into giving. As God moved in people's hearts to give, they gave. We find in the New Testament, the very same thing when it talks about giving in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. In the New Testament, God says, give as you purpose in your heart. Don't give grudgingly. you know, I don't really want to give, but I feel guilty if I don't, kind of thing, or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And here in the Old Testament, God says essentially the same thing. You know, just as people, as they're moved in their heart to give, they should give. And then in verses 3 to 7 of chapter 25, we're told the materials needed for the construction of the tabernacle. These are the things that the people should give. So they can't just give anything. They need to give specific things that will be used in the construction of the tabernacle. Look at verse 3. And this is the offering which you shall take from them, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram's skins dyed red, badger skins, that would be rock badgers, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. Verse 7, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate. We'll talk about that when we get to it. And so these are the materials that were needed for the construction of the tabernacle. So again, the people couldn't give anything that they wanted. They had to give these specific things. So, you know, you couldn't give like pumpkin pie filling, you know, or like your broken television that doesn't work anymore. I'll give that to the church. Maybe they can pay to get it fixed and then they can use it, right? You're going to give these specific things. And these are very, on one hand, they're very common materials. I mean, primarily it's animal skins and different kinds of fabric that they're going to make out of these different colored threads. From the outside, the tabernacle looked very ordinary. It looked very plain. Again, it's just a tent. It looks just like a tent made out of animal skins. But inside was the presence of God. From the outside, there was nothing about the physical appearance of the tabernacle that indicated God was dwelling in that tent. You know, it's not like a temple that you might see to a pagan god made out of marble or stone and overlaid with gold and fine artistry and craftsmanship. It's just a tent, and there's nothing about the tent that would cause you to think the true and living God dwells in that tent. The tabernacle points to who? Jesus Christ.
Pastor Dan will share the second half of today's message in just a moment. But first, he'd like to take a moment to tell you how you can receive prayer for your needs.
Do you need prayer today? Every week we receive prayer requests from our listeners. If you need prayer for anything at all, we would like to pray for you right now. You can share your prayer requests with us through our website, calvaryec.com. Again, that's calvaryec.com, or through our church app, or by calling us at 410-491-4592. And can I ask you to pray for us as well? Pray for the Ring of Truth radio ministry as we bring the Word of God to those who need it.
Thanks, Pastor Dan, and thank you for praying. Now, let's finish today's message.
Isaiah 53, verse 2 tells us that there was nothing about his appearance that made him attractive to people. Jesus was very ordinary in his appearance. There was nothing about his appearance that indicated that Jesus was God incarnate, that he was God in the flesh. He didn't glow. He didn't have a halo over his head. He didn't float above the ground when he walked. He wasn't taller than everyone else. His physical appearance was very plain. It was very ordinary. He was a carpenter from the Galilee, but in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead. In Jesus, God was manifested in the flesh. Even John the Baptist said, I wouldn't have known he was the Messiah unless God had revealed it to me and told me that the one you see the Spirit descend upon, he's the one. John says, I wouldn't have known otherwise, because there was nothing about his physical appearance that indicated that he was God incarnate, that he was Emmanuel, God with us. And so the people will make an offering here to supply the material needs for the construction of the tabernacle. Now, you may ask the question, where did the children of Israel acquire these materials? Where did they get gold and silver and bronze and precious stones? Weren't they slaves in Egypt? How did they have so many valuable items? Well, remember, when they came out of Egypt, they plundered the Egyptians before they left. And the Egyptians, back in Exodus chapter 12, gave Israel all their wealth before the Israelites left in the Exodus. And it says they plundered the Egyptians. before they left. So they have all of this wealth from Egypt, and now they're going to use that material wealth they received from the Egyptians to build a tabernacle for God. God did not give them all that wealth just to make them wealthy. God did not give them all those riches just to make them rich. God gave them that wealth so they could use it for Him, so they could build a sanctuary for God to dwell in their midst. And so too with us. God gives us wealth, but He doesn't give us wealth just so we can be wealthy. Man, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. It's not unbiblical or ungodly to be wealthy. There's plenty of godly people in the Bible that are wealthy, but He doesn't give us wealth just so we can be wealthy. It's not wealth for wealth's sake. God gives us wealth so that we can use our wealth for the kingdom of God and use it as stewards, so that we can store up treasure in heaven by using our treasure here on earth for kingdom business, for kingdom work. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you have treasure in heaven, if you're using your wealth and your resources for kingdom business, kingdom work, and you're storing up treasure in heaven, guess what? That's where your heart's going to be. That's where your mind's going to be. Your thoughts will be on heaven. Now, let me show you what happens when Moses asked the congregation of Israel to give an offering for the building of the tabernacle. Turn with me over to chapter 35 of Exodus. Chapter 35. So Moses explains to the children of Israel the need. And chapter 35, verse 21, then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. Verse 22, they came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces, and jewelry of gold, that is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord, and every man with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, red skins of rams, and badger skins, they brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering, and everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and the stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate of the high priest, and spices and oil for the light, for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord, all the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work, which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. So as God stirred people's hearts, the Spirit stirred people, they brought all of these items. Now look over in chapter 36. Watch what happens. Chapter 36, verse 2. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan. These are the craftsmen that are going to build it. In whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work, and they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. And so they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses. Look at verse 5, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much. The people brought more than they needed. They brought so much that Moses had to make an announcement saying, no mas, please stop bringing us stuff. You know, we don't have any place to put it, kind of thing. We've got more than we need here. Just amazing how the Lord worked in their hearts to provide for the tabernacle. Now turn back to chapter 25. In chapter 25, we come to verse 8, which I've already read earlier, but I'm going to read it again. God says, take up an offering to build a tabernacle, God says, and let them make me a sanctuary, a sacred space, that I may dwell among them. You should underline that in your Bible. This is the purpose of the tabernacle. This is why God wanted them to build a tabernacle. He asked them to build a sacred space where he could dwell in the midst of his redeemed people. This is God's desire. This is God's heart. His desire is to dwell among his people and to enjoy a close, personal, daily relationship with his redeemed people. This is what God desires with you. This is what God desires with me. He wants to be at the center of your life. He wants to have a close, personal relationship with you, a daily relationship with you, and enjoy fellowship with you. He's the one coming up with this. He's the one asking for them to build a temple or a tabernacle for him to dwell in their midst. If you remember with me your Bible, going back to Genesis, when God created the first man, Adam, he put Adam in the Garden of Eden, and God dwelt with Adam in the garden, and Adam and Eve enjoyed fellowship with God. They enjoyed a relationship with God. But then you know what happened. Adam sinned. Adam disobeyed God, and man's fellowship with God was broken by man's sin. And Adam and Eve were put out of the garden, and that intimacy, that closeness, that daily relationship with God, that daily fellowship that Adam and Eve and God enjoyed together, it was broken. But God still longs to have that fellowship with man. God still longs to dwell with man. And so now God instructs man to create a sanctuary where he can once again dwell with man. Do you see how he's trying to restore back here what man lost in the Garden of Eden? And he's asking man now, build a sanctuary so I can dwell among you and I can enjoy fellowship with you and I can be with you and be your God and you'll be my people so that we can have that again. And later, God will do the same thing with the temple built by Solomon in Jerusalem. But as you know, man will forsake God and turn their back on God. And then after the temple, Solomon's temple, God's greatest revelation of himself was the person of Jesus Christ. God once again wanted to dwell again among mankind, dwell in the midst of man. And so God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. And he dwelt among mankind, desiring that relationship, desiring that intimacy, that closeness, that fellowship, that oneness with man. God becomes a man in the person of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory." The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We saw his glory. God dwelt among us and we saw his glory. In 1 Timothy, if I can find it, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. There it says, 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh." Paul says this is without question. This is without controversy. This is without debate. God was manifested in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. God came down from heaven and dwelt among man because he desires a relationship with us.
He asked me how I know, and I say it rings truer than the finest crystal.
Thank you for spending a part of your day with us here at Ring of Truth. You've just heard a message from Pastor Dan Sexton in the book of Exodus. There's a lot we can learn from this and other books in the Bible. In fact, if you visit our website, calvaryec.com, you'll find a treasure trove of other messages, all neatly organized in a simple, straightforward manner. We encourage you to camp out here for a while and soak your spirit in the truth of God's Word. Is there anything you would like us to pray for? We'd love to intercede in prayer on your behalf. Please locate the prayer tab at the top of our homepage, calvaryec.com, and send in your prayer request through the form you find there. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, too. We're also just a phone call away if you're not in Maryland. Call us at 410-491-4592. We'd love to hear what's going on in your life. Again, that's 410-491-4592. Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? If so, please visit calvaryec.com to learn how. We hope that today's teaching has been encouraging to your faith. Come back again next time for more in the book of Exodus. Until next time, we hope you have a blessed day and are reminded of the things learned today. This has been Ring of Truth.
I see the signs and I recognize the hands that craft and am. Well, I know because I know His voice, and it only takes willingness and a conscious choice. You need not guess, there's a ring of truth that is unmistakable, a knowing that you cannot find alone. And if you listen carefully, and sometimes even if you don't, you can hear the sound. Whoa. He asked me how I know, and I say it rings true.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.